Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not-so-favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we will discuss Under the Dome. Under the Dome is on CBS Mondays, 10, 9 Central. We are in second season. We have a lot going on, but I don't know. I don't know, Carl. We need to talk about this one. We need to make a determination at the end of this episode.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. From the beginning, Under the Dome has been on the bubble. You like that? You like how I did that?
Yeah, just, that was great.
Under the Dome has been on the bubble because this is a sci-fi party line. It's our sci-fi party line. And occasionally, I do not think that twice a season showing a glowing orb is sufficient to qualify for science fiction. Now, you will argue with me, and you will say that that's not the real kind of sci-fi, and people can do whatever they want. But come on, people. Come on now. An orb, and now they've been under a dome for a season and a half now, and there's not really much science going on, and there's a whole lot of fiction going on, and there's an awful lot of teenage angst going on.
Oh, here we go. That's trademark Carl, right?
Yes, I'm feeling a lot of divergent sort of Twilight.
Did you watch that?
No, I haven't seen.
We have to for that.
Carl, that's gonna be on the turn. I believe that was 2013, and so we're too late for Divergent. So the struggle has always been, one, how to categorize Under the Dome in terms of in this whole fantasy, horror, sci-fi stuff. And then yeah, how good is it, really? Early on, I said, and I still firmly believe this, that for some reason Stephen King's stuff doesn't translate that well.
You said it.
And I don't know what it is about the actors or the choice of acting style, but every time I hear based on a Stephen King novel, I'm like, you know, because there's just always this edge to it that is not. Not quite there. So I keep trying to give it a shot. There are a couple of movies that they've managed to kind of transcend that. So Under the Dome has fallen squarely in with what I have come to expect from the Stephen King virtualization, novelization.
It's a typical Stephen King.
It really does. It feels like that sort of, it's got that religious on the edge of horror, science is bad, all of this kind of stuff marbled together, and it's just, it's always some little town somewhere, and then throw in a lot of chaos and pain, and then that's what the program is about. And I don't know if that's something I want to continue to watch.
So, Carl, I have to agree with you, man.
What?
So I first season, for whatever, I was kind of pumped up, and I couldn't stop watching it, I think. But now it's just like, how much more can we take under this stupid dome?
Here's an important question I think that we should ask, a realistic question. How do you know when a show like Under the Dome has jumped the shark? Now think about that now, right? Because all of our normal metrics to determine when a show has jumped the shark are things like, well, the acting has gotten bad. Well, the story is getting a little implausible. They went a little too far with this or that. Problem with Under the Dome is that is how it started. That's how this series began. So,
Began by jumping a shark.
to try to pick out something and go, oh, they just went too far with that on Under the Dome is just, you can't even, how would you know when Under the Dome has jumped a shark?
When
And
they
that
killed off your sexy cop lady, and then they killed off Angie, that's when I started feeling it.
That's when you start feeling it.
I mean, I was willing to go with it and to see where it was going, but I feel like they used up all of their tricks in first season. And let's talk about a little bit what's going on. I mean,
Yeah,
so
let's let people know that we actually are watching this. So
yeah,
yes,
we are.
good.
So there's a lot of things that went on, but there's one thing that well, not bothered me, but delighted me in a way, because Carl, when we first brought her up, the Rebecca, the teacher rather, the first thing out of his mouth was she was evil. First thing about her, he was not impressed, because I was like, oh, this is Carl's type of girl. He's gonna be all in love.
Oh, she's a good looking girl. I think she's a lovely, lovely addition to the cast. But I know she's crazy evil.
But see, if you like feel her, I'll know, because of like Detective what's her face from Fringe,
Oh yeah.
Jessup. Like, you went on about Jessup for
Sweet
years.
Jessup.
It's been like 5 years and you're still talking about Jessup.
I have something to admit about Jessup, because she is very lovely, and I very much enjoy seeing her. And so I wondered, was she on anything else recently? And so I was, sort of flipping the IMDb's and whatever.
Stalking.
She came on a Lifetime movie recently,
Precious movie.
and let me tell you, I tried to watch it. I tried, but it was Lifetime. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So Eric, I was gonna call you, man, but I it was Lifetime. I just didn't want to put you. I couldn't do it. So anyway, love you, Jessup. Go on. Go
I mean, I would tease you about being pathetic,
on.
but
It's the freckles. I don't accept about the freckles. I just. Little icky
Ed
dust.
from
Cute little
Eureka,
nose. She's
Ed
got.
from Eureka, Nathan Stark. I've been watching his career and he's been in some turds, man. Like something, it was like something he was in on a sci-fi channel. I watched the whole thing, it was terrible. Then he was like a bad guy in this horror film, and I couldn't even finish it. It was so bad. And I was just like, man, you look good, but not that good, sir.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
It's tough when
tough, man. It's
you
tough.
see one.
So, okay, anyway, we digress. Okay, so I thought this was gonna be somebody that Carl would, throw up in everyone's face. But, turns out no, he, she just looks good and it's fine, but he immediately dismissed her as, eh, she's evil. And so, she was going on, I wasn't feeling her character. But then this chick, she kind of, I was like, well, she saved the town from the caterpillar infestation, and she did some whole calculation, and she saved the town's half the town's crops by burning them, and she went above and beyond the call of duty. And I was just like, all right. Girl. And then the next episode, she wanted to kill off half the town with the swine flu. So, to me, I categorized her as evil. And I just wanted to know, Carl, like, what was it about her that made that like set off the evil?
From the first time I saw her, from the first time I saw her. Okay, so admittedly, I was still a little upset that they had killed off our sheriffette, our sergeant lady. I was still a little put off by
You don't
that.
even know her name anymore, man. It's sad.
So for them to try to swap in one hottie for another to make me believe that hotness is interchangeable, I was not falling for that. But then they wanted to make it very clear, not the same lady. It's not that she decided to leave the show and that we just wanted to swap out her role with another lovely young lady. This was the scientist. So the other one, you know, the sheriff, she was not so scientific. She is a scientist. All right. So the first thing. So first thing is, you got to look at scientists in Stephen King novels. All right, really?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that tells me right away. Because, you know, I can't help it. When I watch a show, I don't just watch what's right there given to me. I look at who made the show. I look at what kind of show it is. So all that stuff starts to, okay, here's the next thing. Scientist memes in the theater. All right? There are two types, really. There are two types of scientists in the scientist meme. This is how you draw them. Scientists that are full of wonder, scientists that know all of the answers. Okay? So this is the way it splits. A true scientist, a genuine scientist, is always full of wonder because they know that they don't know everything. You know that the whole reason you go into science is because you have questions and you want to experience things and things you even think you know. The more that you learn, you on a drop of a hat, you can learn more and expand your perception, right?
Mm.
Soon as we see her. Now, we ain't seen her from Jack. Suddenly, she came out from a drawer someplace. She's been under a dome for a whole season. Ain't nobody seen her. In the first minute and a half, she's like, oh, well, I know how this is, and this is scientifical, and this is what's going on, and you all are silly country bumpkins, blah, blah, blah. So clearly, she knows all everything already. Ain't seen her. Ain't saved nobody from Jack yet. And now, all of a sudden, here she comes marching out here, and she knows all the existence. And she's a high school teacher. She's not like a like she didn't work for NASA or
wait,
that.
Wait, this is the thing, Carl. This is the thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm,
she mentioned in the latest episode.
I saw it. But what? It's been about four episodes, and she tried to build radio telescopes out of twine. So I don't want to hear it.
So in the latest episode, she said that she got accepted to Cornell.
What?
Yeah. And then she couldn't go because she had to take care of her sick father.
Yeah.
She had to rewind that to make sure they threw that dig in there. And I'm like, why this? You know, why they own school like that? That ain't right.
I look. So of course she has all the answers and science can save us all, which right away in the Stephen King frame, you trouble. That you know, just like the ministers. Go too far, you bring a scientist, they go too far. So but then again, she also had the crazy eye. Now, I don't know. It was something about the forehead and the crazy eye. That it's just the way she was leading. I said, okay, this chick's a little too intense. She's going to go push her over the edge. She's, something about her ain't going to be right. So, I mean, just the first time I saw her, it was crazy eye. It was scientists knowing it all. It was Stephen King. All of that just laid it out in front of me. And I was like, okay, how long's this going to take?
Wow.
So yeah, that was, and so and wow, that the scientists would be pitched up against the religious extremist. Who could have seen that coming into Stephen King? I mean, luckily they held out for three whole episodes before that. But yeah, so I just gotta.
Oh my God! Wow, that was an epic kind of rant there.
But this is what's happening when you're watching stuff. But come on now, when you're watching movies and when you're watching TV shows, aren't you in this stuff kind of dancing around in the back of your head? When they roll a person out, you're like, okay, let's see where they go.
I try not to judge, so I go in with a fresh slate, and I try to give them the benefit of the doubt so they can surprise me, but they don't. So I didn't think she would go as far as to try to kill half of the town just to preserve food. I mean, I thought, you know, maybe she'd, you know, be a scientist and try to come up with ways to make more food.
No, because science says it's Darwin, survival of the fittest. There's no way to
shake
that bad. All you have to do is flip the page four of your biology book and it tells you, yeah, all right.
No, that is just not the way things, I mean, there was just no, Like, why
It,
did she come up with that? That is like your solution to fixing things as a scientist. That's the dumbest. No wonder she didn't, because she didn't go to Cornell because she was intimidated. She knew she didn't belong here. That's what's going on. Screw that. Nobody, she didn't, she, you don't bring that type of attitude here. Like, that's crazy. You don't do that to anybody. Who are you to decide who lives in Zai's? That was very arrogant of her. And then she's like, I want to atone, and the only reason I didn't is because I saw, and it was a selfish reason, I saw a girl with her mother
And
and
it reminded me of when I was a kid. Yeah, okay, okay, so
the
listen. We're picking on Rebecca here because it's true. But you gotta understand, everybody on Under the Dome is this kind of extreme. There's no just regular, average, relatable people. Everybody has got to take a flake of something and then blow it way out over here or way out over here. No,
Oh,
I mean,
so let's speak of that. Let's get off of Rebecca for a second, and let's go to DJ Officer Phil.
oh, geez. What happened to Phil? What happened to Phil? Now, for starters, we got to be happy that he made it this long. Because I didn't think DJ was going to hang on until this far. I thought it was he and what's her name were going to be gone early on. So the fact that he made it this far was impressive. But yeah, come on, man. If you're going to go out, can't you have a spectacular ending? Something that it's like all of a sudden his behavior just shifted. You know, he was kind of like a cool, laid back dude in the back, and then like an episode and a half's amount of time, he's mad and he's siding with Jim and he
Trying
just
to
don't.
hang people, shooting people. He killed somebody, and
That
then now he go running around drinking Jack Daniels,
too
letting
far,
prisoners free,
too
and
far, too
like,
far.
what is happening?
No one feels natural. Aren't people supposed to be in some way relatable, or you're supposed to be able to sort of.
Julia is the closest, Shumway.
Well, yeah, but
But then, like, she—I mean, her husband wasn't dead like a week, and she already with Barton.
all up on Barbie, all up on
To be
Barbie.
fair, though.
Okay, see there, but look,
You can
and look.
have your crazy sexy scientist and freaking Jessup. I can have Barbie.
Oh, but Jessup is sweet. Oh, but see here, but Barbie is crazy though. What's up with Barbie? We don't. Barbie is. See, this is what I'm talking about. I thought that we were going to be able to hang in there with Shumway and Barbie. Those two, Julie and Barbie, were going to be the ones that we can kind of hang on to in this world of craziness under the dome, right?
We can.
No, Barbie, no, because we can't tell where Barbie stands. Every time we think he's good or we think everything is all right, he'll go off on something and
No, he wanted to see what Jim had in mind. He was kind of going undercover, as it were, to see where everything was going to lead. And then, as in the recent episode, he was like,
yes,
I
he was
wasn't
sweet.
down with that. I wasn't down with that. Why did you tell Julie I was down with that? I'm taking Julie's side. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, then he almost shot a dude right there on the cliff, so it's
No,
just.
he was trying to, what had happened was he was trying to get the guy to come back off the edge and bring him into justice.
Yeah, wow.
That's what Barbie was doing. He was trying to bring him to justice.
And by the way, if ever you see a giant cliff or enormous hole of indefinite depth on a Stephen King novel, movie, television program, you know someone's going in. I'm just like a Sarlacc. Just like the Sarlacc. You know something's going in there. So just be ready for it. I don't know if it's going to be one of them, both of them, all four fall in and come out the next episode. We don't know. But just so you know.
So ridiculous. So we go, like, the whole show is revolving around in high school, a high school locker.
Can we, yeah, look, okay, remember the jump the shark question? Remember that? Okay. So the episode begins with them going into a secret tunnel behind a locker, a high school locker. That, you're just trying to hang on to some anchor of reasonableness. They had the flashlights out. I genuinely thought that it was going to break out into a Scooby-Doo episode. They even said, let's split up. You heard them say that, right? We got to split up here. I was like, jinkies, what's the next clue? That's why I was just waiting. So I'm trying to hang in there, right? I'm watching this. I'm leaning in there. Okay, so now there's a catacomb of tunnels underneath the high school, and who knows how long it's been there. There's no explanation for how in the world that is there.
When did they have time?
No. So now they've got the cave. Of course, now we've been able to whip up some C4 from Vaseline and something that she had laying in the back.
She had like a Wile E. Coyote bomb, whatever, that she lit from. Like, why were they doing it, and why did it take so long? Why did they have to have a whole entire discussion
because they had to have the discussion. That's why that was going on.
But I don't understand why they even went into the locker, went to the cave, and didn't walk back to the cave the way they came in. Like, why were they just hanging out, having male bonding time in a cave at the edge of the cliff?
Apparently, this is a phantom ghost cave where it changes as you're walking around in it. You see that? I think that's what we were supposed to figure out. Just like how the world in the dome doesn't make sense when they say split up, and yet the guy who went left ends up in the same place as the guy who went right.
I thought they went in a tiny, it was just built that way.
No, that was supposed to have meant that there was some paranormal magic, dome-like magic going on in the caves that brought him right back around.
That was poorly written.
That's what they're trying to tell. It's the same way that when he falls off a cliff and into darkness, that means he's really dead now, and we're never going to see him again on under the dome. He's not, unlike Sheriff Black Dude, we know he's dead. But no, you can fall off a cliff.
Wait, Sheriff Black Dude is dead?
I mean, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Wait, we're going to have to see what happens? Because I just thought he was drunk, and then he let people out of jail, and then that was it. Did something else happen to him?
Well, he got shot. You know, minor detail. Minor detail on that. You know.
Where did he get shot? When did he get shot?
During the post-explosion... post-explosion gunfight that they had in there, remember?
No.
You don't remember him getting shot? Yeah, he got shot.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. That memorable, huh?
Yeah. My bad. Okay. So, the cave. Okay, so we're out of the cave. The guy jumps into the breach or whatever, and we don't know if Lyle's down there. We don't know if it has a bottom. We don't know if he's gonna come floating back up. I don't, like, is he supposed to be dead for real? Is this...
Well, we don't know. It's supposed to be the magic of the series. It's supposed to keep us watching, because the show is really about questions. They just keep asking questions, and what keeps you watching a show like The Dome, much like the final season of Lost.
Dude, I was just getting ready to go there.
Is that they just keep putting questions out in front of you, and you're supposed to be so intrigued that the fact that you don't care about the people, the fact that nothing makes any sense, the fact that it's just no one has any good ideas, it's just constantly dog-eating-dog environment, that's not important. What's important is that there are questions, and that's what's supposed to keep you watching.
So what's his name? Uncle Sam said something that made me think of Lost in the cave. Yeah. He said that something about how when he died, well, Barbie was like, when they die, am I going to see the people when I die, and they're going to come for me and blah, blah, blah. You know, right?
Yeah.
Right? So Sam was like, well, I thought that too, and I killed somebody, and they did come back to greet me, and that's Melanie. So something made me feel like, okay, are we in purgatory under this dome? What's happening under this dome? Because if it's purgatory, I need to stop watching it. And I think that's why I came to you with, like, we need to make a decision here, because I feel that this show is not going to respect my time.
Yeah, because, I mean, simply having questions is not enough to keep me watching a series. There's got to be some context. There's got to be some greater story that holds stuff together. Or, as I said early on, the promise of the resolution has got to be so great that it's going to make up for lots of kind of craziness.
Have we ever seen a show like that, though?
Well, I think
not one that asks so many questions as so mysterious that they never pay off. Hence, Lost.
I sometimes, you know, with shows like Babylon 5 or the arcs, but you can tell when you're watching a show like that, you can feel that the arcs are building towards something, or you can tell that the pieces that the breadcrumbs that they're putting in front of you lead to a greater, more powerful story. And then you get shows like Under the Dome, where it feels like they're tricking you into watching it. No, seriously, it's just like, because we talked about them running around in the tunnels. Let's talk about the kids. All right. So the kids are the kids' storyline is the closest thing we have to science fiction in Under the Dome. Okay, they've got some kind of connection to the orb that we still presume came from outer space. I'm assuming, right? Is that what we're going with?
I don't know anymore.
So we're hanging with these kids and we're trying to get a feeling for what their connection is to the dome.
Because they're the four hands.
They're the four hands. Well, the new four hands, because one of the four died.
Angie.
And so then they swapped her out with a dead
Melody.
Girl.
Yeah.
I mean, you see how this kind of stuff, when you see it, it's either one of two things. They've got such a complex story laid out ahead of time.
Nope.
That this stuff is going on, and this is, and every moment is meaningful, and it's significant, and we're really there's going to be a big payoff, or that even the people on the show think stuff is crazy, and they're just leaving or swapping stuff out and trying to hold stuff together as best as they can.
That's what that feels like.
This is what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
It feels like after the first season, they was like, "I'm out."
And so you're looking at it, and you're like, "Well, look, if the people on the show are bailing."
I'm just gonna read the book.
I don't know if this is if I don't know if this is for me.
No. So we get your teenage angst, Carl, with Nori and Joe, and Nori's jealous of Melanie because Melanie is being needy.
And that was a totally natural kiss that happened right there. That just flowed so nice.
Yeah.
It really felt, I could feel the young passion there.
Yeah, I felt like it was first love all over again when I saw that. Yeah, felt like Madonna's Like a Virgin. It was great.
So I'm trying to watch the kids and I'm trying to get into their storyline and what's going on. We get a lot more teenage pain than actual what the heck is going on with the orb. Do these kids have superpowers or anything? What is there, you know, do they have a psychic link? Or if they develop that story just a little bit more, everything that we have learned so far through the kids about the dome, they could have compressed in the first half of the first season. Seriously, all of this should have been done. The cool, you know, rubber band dome, the scale city, the wire Doc Brown Back to the Future stuff that they were doing, all of that could have been compressed into one half of the first season, and that would have had a sufficient enough science fiction edge to maybe try to keep that as an interesting storyline. But right now,
we get pink stars. Oh, Carl, we got convenient internet access too.
Oh, geez. Oh, the
Junior internet. Conveniently found out his mom was alive, and he got extra clues that she'd been sending postcards to Lyle all this time. And then they went on a quest for mom's journal because she had all of the answers in there. And then this is why Uncle Sam wanted to kill off the four hands, because if you kill off the four hands, thus brings the apocalypse, which suggests that the dome will come down so they can escape it. But he didn't complete his journey, but he said he read the journal and suggested that Julia would die and that Barbie would want to kill all the kids in order to bring the dome down.
Man, that's a lot of information on that little Wi-Fi signal, wasn't it? I mean, you got video streaming mom, you got all these other hints all coming through the pipeline. And as soon as the mom's transmission was done, strangely, the internet went back out again. What? That's not convenient.
Oh, I can't, Carl. I'm just, well, I don't know. I don't know.
It's just, I just.
Because why is Melanie dead? And why is she, what, why would she, we found out why she died. Because she touched the dome and she fell. It was an accident. Then they buried her, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, why is she back from the dead? And why do we care? Like, why is she back from the dead? Seriously.
And something tells me that once we find the answer to why she's back
Oh,
from
we
the
already
dead,
found out, Caitlin.
why? Oh, well, yeah, she's the survivor protector of the dome orb.
Man.
That's, all right. So anyway, and so we've got the kids and their sci-fi arc that's going on.
Air quote.
And then we've got the love triangle with Barbie and
That ain't no triangle anymore.
Shumway. Well,
No, Sam.
we don't know that he's dead.
Man.
He just fell in a hole. That could be anything
Carl,
on the
Carl,
dome.
Carl.
'Cause remember, nothing gets out of the dome.
Carl.
So, okay, look, I'm trying here. I'm just the dome feels like a mess. I mean, each storyline that they bring out gives an unsatisfactory resolution. The characters are kind of cartoony, and every time you think that something interesting develops, it just kind of falls flat. I thought I was, and one of the main reasons I gave the show a chance is because I did believe that maybe that they had created some sort of a complex interlocking arc. But no, come on now. It's possible. You can do it in a short amount of time. Complex arcs that were gonna have some kind of cool closure or
You're
something.
so adorable.
Listen, it is not impossible to make shows this way. It's really not that hard. So when I keep seeing, the characters that I find interesting killed off or walking off the show, when I see the way that stuff is happening on the show, I'm very, very wary about the direction of the dome.
Yeah,
I just.
I don't know. I am not satisfied with it. They like come in, they drop the religion stuff, they go away, like the disappearance of Lyle, his absence and his whole, like he came in like a little hurricane, tore crap up, and then now, oh, we think he jumped in this hole, 'cause that's the only place that he could have gone. Okay, let's sit here and talk about how crazy he was. And then now he's just gone. That's stupid.
Well.
And then, I mean, we got red rain, caterpillar infestation. We got the epic dust storm with
Dust storm that's clogging up the dome, the dust storm.
the
It's semi-permeable, and so that's the all that man, that is like, I mean,
Their solution was that crazy Americana Route 66 windmill with all the signs, the safety roadway signs, and they put that together because it's like, let's just make a windmill but bigger.
that was
And
a
it was,
terrible, terrible idea. Nothing about that made any
oh,
sense.
it helped, and Big Jim became a hero.
Well, I thought it was because he gave the guy the inhaler. That was his real heroic.
Oh,
This is the
so somebody
redemption.
conveniently had a hail inhaler on the table in a restaurant.
Well, I mean, no, don't even think about that. The fact that he ran out into the middle of a dust storm without it, that ain't convenient.
We
Where are
hadn't
you
seen
going?
that dude in forever, like first season, and he comes in with an asthma attack.
He came
which
out of
convenient inhaler and only take
he came out of the hole. That's where everybody comes out. He
man.
just came out of the hole. I'm starting to see a real big hole in the dome. So
Yeah. See, I don't know. Like, I don't know how many more episodes are in this season. How many? Let's see. We can look right quick. Let me scroll down. There are three more, Carl. So I would say we're not gonna rush to watch this past it, but we will get to it because as of today, I kind of want to quit watching.
I am not behooved to continue watching Under the Dome. I do like to complete things, or at least try to give round numbers on things. So I am going to try and watch the last three episodes of
That
this.
we're not going to rush on that.
Not
Let
rushing.
me give you a preview of what's to come. We have three more episodes left. One is called Going Home. One is called Awakening, and one is called The Red Door. Now, no, because I already see some chicanery going on right there. Right there, some nonsense. That's what I see. Red door. Oh, that's mysterious. No. So.
What, you don't think that just because it's called Red Door that it's going to be a closure resolution episode?
I don't think I want a third. I should probably watch now because it's gonna get canceled. I mean, stop now because it's gonna get canceled. There's no way this thing is getting a third season.
Well, you see, this is the thing. Shows that we really enjoy seem to get canceled, and the ones that seem to make no sense tend to go on and on and on.
This thing is such good ratings. It gets better ratings than Master Ch Chef, Master Chief. Sorry. It
No way,
gets
no way.
better ratings than Bachelor in Paradise. Better ratings than Two Broke Girls. Whose line is it anyway? Let's see.
Whose line is it anyway? Is that actually on
It's a
still?
repeat, sorry. American Ninja Warrior gets better ratings than that 2.5 Men. It's a repeat. Mistresses, it gets better ratings on its night, than a
Okay.
lot of shows.
Okay. All right. So I guess the soap opera edge of this is really resonating with folks. The combination of the soap opera-ness of what's going on and the constant questions. For some people, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to keep you coming back to the show. But I just don't like being that kind of teased. When I
Yeah, me either. Either put out or get out.
exactly. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, for real, that's it.
Like, after so long, you just teasing just gets old. Come on. Yeah, so we're gonna have to break up Under the Dome and find a show that we'll put out.
Yeah,
And.
I need an easier show.
Oh, no!
least a freaky one. I'll take a freaky show.
You want a show that'll spank you? Okay,
Yes,
sorry.
please.
Okay,
Help me.
let's stop
Help me.
talking. Let's stop talking.
Help me
This is
now.
just not no. Okay.
Phew.
Okay. Anywho, so I don't know. That to me is our show. I have nothing else. No more rants on this. Other than
Sorry, we're sorry, everybody. We tried. We're really trying here. We're gonna watch the last three at our own pace, and see if maybe there are some surprises to Under the Dome that we have not been able to
No,
see in a season and a half.
No, yeah, maybe. Like, if you guys tweet us and you really want us to watch and finish this up, you let us know and we'll get right on that.
Yes, we got voicemail. What's her number? What's her number, Kat? We got.
Oh, okay, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at seven
This
seven.
is what we're talking about. This is the kind of feedback we need.
Yeah.
If you are thoroughly enjoying Under the Dome, and you are one of our regular listeners and not paid by Under the Dome
No,
Incorporated,
if you
and
pay,
actually
call
want
too. If you pay, give us a call too. 773-336-2686. If you're getting this on your phone, you could just tap it and it'll call up.
It works. It's true.
Yeah, you can call. And yeah. And you can go to our website. You can leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can use Facebook to log in.
That's right. Or you can just directly instant message or Twitter Cat and I. You can reach her at Fancy Fembot on any one of the Twitters, the Google Pluses, the web, or me, Robo Minister, on the Twitters. And we'll be happy to respond.
And if you have an app and you don't want to listen on iTunes or our website, you can find us on Stitcher Radio. Yeah. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time.
Bye. We're sorry. Really. Yeah.
We tried.
Yeah.